This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, March 31st. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Bozeman draws the line. Warning on H-2A wage impact and USDA mulls staff bonuses. Bozeman, farm bill must address reference prices. The top Republican of the Senate Agriculture Committee is setting a key condition for the next farm bill. In an interview with AgriPulse newsmakers, Arkansas Senator John Bozeman says the bill must provide some improvement in price loss coverage program reference prices. PLC triggers payments when market prices fall below the reference levels. I don't vote for a farm bill that doesn't take care of our reference prices, Bozeman says, adding that he is also concerned about the Agriculture Risk Coverage Program and crop insurance. Now take note, Bozeman says committee chairwoman Debbie Stabenow is committed to finding the money that's necessary. Newsmakers will be available later today at AgriPulse.com. Analysis. H-2A wage rules will hit small farmers hardest. The Labor Department's new formula for setting minimum wages for H-2A workers will hit small farms especially hard, that according to an analysis by the American Farm Bureau Federation. AFBF says the average national wage rate in 2002 would have been 12% higher for small farms under the new formula and 5% higher for large farms. The Farm Bureau says the Labor Department is significantly underestimating the number of positions that might fall into a higher wage category under the regulations. H-2A wage rates for field workers will continue to be based on USDA's Farm Labor Survey of farm worker wages. But rates for some occupations, including truck drivers and supervisors, will be linked to a broader wage survey conducted by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Showdown on the CCC. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack's 3 days on Capitol Hill ended with some fireworks yesterday. The chairman of the House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee, Andy Harris of Maryland, ripped into Vilsack for using the Commodity Credit Corporation to fund the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities, the initiative that's supposed to test ways to develop markets for climate-related farming practices. But take note, Harris essentially conceded Vilsack had the authority to fund the initiative by saying Vilsack used a loophole in the law. It's also notable how few Republicans raised the issue this week. Vilsack was prepared for attacks. He came into yesterday's hearing with handwritten notes on the 1933 law that authorized the CCC. Harris would likely have a tough time getting any new CCC restrictions past the Democratic-controlled Senate. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Land disclosure crackdown only goes so far. Secretary Vilsack has hired more staff to track foreign investment disclosure filings for violations USDA may have missed during a 3-year gap in its imposition of disclosure penalties. The agency did not assess any penalties for Agricultural Foreign Investment Disclosure Act violations between 2015 and 2018 due to low staffing levels. The USDA, which previously had 2 to 3 AFIDA specialists, now has 6, Vilsack told the House Appropriators. But Vilsack said the agency is still limited in what it can do to enforce reporting. It can assess penalties, but tracking day-to-day land purchases would require, quote, a clearinghouse of land deeds from every county recorder's office, an idea that Vilsack said farmers would oppose. USDA mulling staff bonuses. USDA's Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Robert Bonney, told the American Coalition of Ethanol yesterday the department would be looking at providing retention bonuses to maintain and build county staffing levels. There's a cost to all that stuff, he said, but added there's a cost to not having those folks in the building. Another big week for U.S. corn export sales. Foreign buyers, mostly China, contracted to buy about 1 million metric tons of U.S. corn for the week of March 17 to 23. That according to USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service. While that's a drop-off from the previous week's totals, it's still substantial, and the Chinese purchases remain impressive. That according to Colin Waters, Director of Exports and Logistics for the Illinois Corn Marketing Board and the Illinois Corn Growers Association. Chinese buyers snapped up over 709,000 tons during the seven-day period, and separate daily reports out of FAS show those purchases are continuing. FAS on Wednesday reported 204,000 tons of corn sold to China, another 178,000 tons yesterday. The recent spike in U.S. corn sales to China, quote, shows that U.S. origin corn is competitive now, and it's a good thing for farmers. We've still got grain to sell, Waters says. BLM emphasizes conservation in management proposal. The Bureau of Land Management is stressing conservation in a major proposal addressing how the agency plans to care for its 245 million acres in 12 western states. BLM says it plans to apply, quote, the fundamentals of land health to all BLM-managed public lands and uses. Current policy, quote, limits their application to grazing authorizations. In the proposed rule, which has yet to be published in the Federal Register, BLM says it would employ conservation leases to advance its goals. However, those leases would not preclude grazing, mining, and recreation. Leases, the agency said, should not disturb existing authorizations, valid existing rights, or state or tribal land use management. User fee bill could lower animal drug costs. The House Energy and Commerce Committee is preparing to move a legislation reauthorizing FDA's animal drug user fee programs ahead of their expiration on September 30. FDA has heard from industry stakeholders on current challenges within the animal health market, including the rising cost of pet care and limited options available. Committee Chairwoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, the Washington Republican, said at a hearing yesterday, "It is clear that we need more innovative and affordable medicines on the market," Rogers said, adding that a proposed agreement on generic drugs, quote, should help get more lower-cost animal drugs to farmers and pet owners. Now take note, the newly appointed director of FDA's Center for Veterinary Medicine, Tracy Forfa, said CVM is working with the Reagan-Udall Foundation to ensure that their antimicrobial resistance strategy is strong and robust as it establishes its future five-year plan on reducing antimicrobial resistance. Here's today's He Said It. Why do a farm bill if you're not going to take care of farmers? That's the word of Senator John Bozeman, the Arkansas Republican, to AgriPulse newsmakers. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, March 31st. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.